Alrighty. Meeting is called to order at, according to my clock, it's 8:06 Eastern Time?
Yep.
Okay. Roll call. Kim Laird, I'm here. Sandy Brown?
Here.
Don Lewis?
Here.
Jerry Martin? He's not with us right now. Jim Maxwell?
Here.
Bob Newman?
Here.
Will Penman?
Here.
Okay, and Katja never called in. We also have Scott Slesnick present.
Here.
Alan Howard.
Here.
And Andrew Conway.
Here.
Okay. Did I miss anybody? Okay. Moving on to the agenda. Since this is a special meeting, I kept it very, very short. However, I agree with Jim. If everyone else is in agreement, would everyone like to go ahead and approve the previous minutes of July 19th, the 21st, and August 16th? Or should we hold that over till September?
I'm fine with that.
Let's do it now.
Yes.
Let's do it now? Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Are there any questions on the I'm sorry. I have to do the approval of this agenda first. So.
Right.
All right. So we will change. We need to change the previous minutes part, though, to minutes of the July 19th, 20th, and August 16th meetings, and we'll have to vote on that. Usually it's approved by unanimous consent, but we can fill that in when we get there. Are there any other changes or corrections? Will, you did point out the spelling of the word warrant in the in the motions. I corrected that.
I didn't
want
to be nitpicky. I just, if that's the motion we approve, I didn't want it to be spelled wrong.
Yeah.
That's fine, yeah.
I picked up on it, too. I just cut and pasted it and did not edit properly. My fault. Anything else that anyone sees that needs changing or correcting? Okay. If not, I'd like to approve the agenda by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? And do we have to do the abstention thing for that? Not really?
I don't think so.
Okay. So the agenda is approved by unanimous consent. Moving on to previous minutes, minutes of the July 19th, 20th, and August 16th of 2006 meetings. I'd like to approve them by unanimous consent. Or
I had made a note. Was that the meeting where we were in executive session? This is Sandy.
Yes.
And
I agree with you there.
Okay. My question was that if we're in executive session, do we have to, on the minute, state the purpose for our executive session? And I think not.
This is Jim. I think not also, but certainly there's no reason, because I know that people are going to be asking what that executive session was about. And
sure.
There's no reason why we can't tell them what we were discussing, but I don't think it needs to be reflected in the minutes.
Okay. And that was more of a just a question I had in general, and I have no objections that for the reason of our meeting to be posted.
Okay. Is everyone out? So should we leave it as is with it saying that we went into an executive session to discuss the fest budget? Is that okay with everyone? Any opposition to that? Okay. Any other questions or comments about previous minutes? If not, I'd like them to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Okay. The previous minutes all pass. I left the reports off since this is just a meeting to decide the publication issue. And now moving on to continuing business.
Can I ask a quick question before we get to that? This is Don.
Sure.
Is our director's insurance in force yet?
The application has been submitted, and we're just waiting to hear back from the company at this point. I did hear from Randy today. He received all of our documents and is working on that right now.
So basically at the moment we're not covered?
No.
That's discouraging.
Yes. They need it, the 2005-990s. They need it, a copy of our bylaws. The company required some substantial documentation, so it, as well as the application. So we should be hearing back from them very shortly.
Have we sent them any money?
Excuse me?
Sent them any money?
No, we haven't sent them any money.
This is Jim. I will make note that Steve Paxalt has joined the IJA in the last 2 weeks.
Excellent. He said he was going to. Actually, several of their employees are planning on joining.
Just for the record, for the observers, this is Sandy. Paxalt is the company with whom we are doing, we are planning an insurance policy for performers, for festivals, and for affiliates, for weekly clubs.
Okay, and I don't know where it's exactly appropriate if we should... Alan Howard is here to answer any questions that anyone may have. He just wanted to sit in on the beginning in case we had any questions. So does anyone have any questions for Alan Howard?
This is Don. I could ask a question about timing.
Mm-hmm.
Since my orientation has been to go to four issues, since we clearly can't afford the six at this point. How urgent is it that we put the first issue out in January? Like, do we have to make a commitment right now if we're going to go to four issues, or do we have a month or so of sliding room?
I think we would be able to figure out when the issues would come out later on. I think... if we could get like a yes or no at this point, that's all I was assuming to get at this moment. But, yeah, whether it comes out in January or February or March, that's certainly negotiable later on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to figure that out myself. If it is only four issues a year, when the best would be to do it? Probably you'd want a June issue right before the convention, which would give you a September issue right after the convention or the festival. And that would also leave March and December if you spread them out equally. December would make sense. People get that at the beginning of the month in case there's people wanting to advertise for that, for the big end-of-the-year holidays. But that would also mean no issue coming out in January, February.
And we have an issue with, we want to make sure that in the first issue of the year that the festival brochure is in there so that we can begin early festival registrations. And, of course, many of those registrations are now coming online, but still... I still feel it's important that the information be in that first issue at a timely manner.
Yeah, this is Bob. I agree with that, too.
This is Jim. If we go to four issues per year, then wouldn't it make sense to have a January, February, March, April, May, and June, July, August, and September, which would, well, I'm not sure which issue would be able to have the festival coverage, but you know, basically a quarterly schedule, rotation schedule, like we had with the old Juggler's World.
It would be possible. And do I have to keep saying my name every time I answer something?
No.
If I do, this is Alan.
Sure.
And yeah, if you had a January, February, March issue, that would mean that it should come out in January. I don't think you'd want to have a January, anything called January, whatever, showing
right.
up in February or March, which would mean that our pre-convention issue would be the April, May, June, so you'd have to have everything before the festival ready in April. Because
okay.
realistically, a lot of members wouldn't get the July, August, September issue until the festival has already started. And
right.
pushing it kind of far ahead, knowing the way IJA things have happened before, I'm sure we can be ready that quick to get everything in the magazine.
Right.
Yeah.
Afterward, probably not too much trouble, but before, maybe tricky.
Okay, this is Jim again. We obviously, you know, are planning to make a decision tonight, you know, yes or no. But in terms of, as far as the terms of the contract, how flexible can you be there with, say, a three-year contract with the possibility of reconsideration after 18 months?
Sure. This is Alan.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly sounds reasonable. I was always assuming, actually I'd heard the board would probably want a three-year contract, so I was always assuming there would be some kind of an out clause that probably give a year just in case either one of us said, this isn't really working.
Okay.
So, yeah, certainly you would want to re-look at these things at some point and either continue or not.
Perfect.
This is Don. I'm wondering if Alan has any suggestions for us.
This is Alan, and I don't. I had the vague notes made up for general statements, but I don't know if I actually call them suggestions. I can look through those and kind of babble through them if you like.
Sure.
You know what our constraints are, more or less.
Right.
So, you know, these are the things we're trying to work around.
Yeah.
If you have aid and comfort to give us, we'd be glad to receive it.
Well, I think it sort of comes down to what you think is the best option. My notes here start out saying pretty much the obvious in most cases. I like doing juggle, and I'd like to keep doing it. And, if you've seen the last 6 years or so of the magazine, and I'm assuming you all have, you know what I've been doing, and that's pretty much what I'm offering to keep doing. I'll make some changes, and I've got a few new ideas in mind, and we'll try to get a new look to it, but basically kind of the same. And I know that's not the cheapest option, but you have to decide whether it's something you can cut back or not. You have to decide what it comes down to is affording something. Can the IJ afford to keep the magazine going, or can you afford to sort of start from scratch? And which costs more, the financial cost of hiring someone like me to keep a new version of what we've been doing going, or the cost of, the perception of IJ membership value in doing something different? And the something different might be a benefit rather than a loss. But yeah, I personally don't think so. I always tell everybody I would want to see a magazine keep coming out pretty much as it has been, whether I'm involved or not. And I've never said I'm the best person to do this, and there's no reason to think you can't find somebody better than me. But, you know, you guys know what I can do, and you know that I'm interested. It sort of comes down to you have to decide what you think is best, what the membership wants, what's best for the organization, and I certainly can't tell you what that is. Or you have to figure out some combination of all those because they might not all match up. And again, could be with me, could be with somebody else. I'm fine either way. I'm just hoping that something continues that will match up to the quality that we think we've been providing so far. And I've just spent far too much of my time today reading through the IJA forum, trying to catch up on everything. I want to make sure to thank Don for saying that you don't think I'm strong-arming you. I'm hoping no one thinks that.
No.
Alan, I have a question.
There should be anyone. One more thing, please.
Sorry.
I don't think there should be anyone who can put pressure on the board to make a bad decision or a hasty decision or to stop one from making one either. I don't think anybody should be able to do that, you know, let alone me. And if you're rushing into this as a decision just to keep me around, then I think you're doing it for the wrong reason. But I think I can do a good job for you, and I'd like to try, but I don't think you should rush into this just for the sake of me. And that's about all I had prepared. Now, more questions.
This is Sandy. It's not Alan, it's Sandy. But I really appreciate your candidness. I have a question that's I talked to Joyce Howard at length yesterday, and she said to me, well, I talked to Alan in Portland, and it didn't seem like he really wanted to do juggle, that it was something that he could do or not do, and he didn't seem really like he wanted to do it. And I disagreed with her because when I've been speaking with you, it seems like you do want to do juggle. And I just wanted to have you tell me the truth in that.
Well, I think you're right. I would like to do juggle. I've enjoyed doing it so far, and I would like to keep doing it. I do have to admit I'm not sure it's the best possible course of the IJA. I would like to think it is, but I'm not going to claim that it is. But I would like to do it.
Alan, this is Bob. I just have one question for you. In the future, you know, I know you're amenable to changes. Let's say, you know, we get flush with some cash and other things, and we think we can promote 5 magazines or a special issue. Are you amenable to that?
Sure.
Okay.
We can always upgrade if we want to. I think that's a great idea.
Looking to the future, hopefully things will get better, and, you know, we can get back on track. And rather than you know, guarantee five issues all the time. Sometimes, you know, maybe a special issue with a DVD or in addition to a DVD might be an option. And we just, I think some of us were concerned, too, we don't want to lock ourselves into a low number either.
Right. And this is Alan again. I think a DVD is a great idea. And I keep telling people, I think it's terrific to have a DVD along with the magazine. I don't like the idea of instead of a magazine. And again, that's whether I'm doing it or not. But if you had a chance to put a DVDs in between the magazines or along with the magazines, that would be great.
Great.
This is Jim Maxwell with another question. Do we still have permission from Stage Right to continue using the name Juggle?
Yes. Stan has told me that if I'm the person who's continuing it, we can use the name Juggle.
Alan, this is Kim. I just want to be clear on one thing. What you would like to hear from us tonight or when I call you later is either a yes, we would like you as our publisher editor, or no, we're not interested, thank you. Do we need to name the number of issues tonight?
No, I don't think so. Just a yes or no, just so I know whether I have to commit time over the next year or two or whatever. We'll say at least a year for it, knowing there'll be some kind of out clause later on if you don't want me anymore. But, yeah, since I do have other offers that I've promised to give an answer to, for myself, I would appreciate an answer as soon as possible, yes or no. But, no, we do not need to know the exact issue, the number of issues at this point.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions for Alan?
I like cheesecake. Doesn't mean anything, but the only answer I got.
All right. Alan, thank you so much for taking time to be here to answer some of our questions. And
thank you. Thanks for letting me stop by.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you for your honesty.
You've got my cell phone, and I'll be here at the office for a little while longer, so call me back if you think of anything else.
I sure will.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm now calling Colin, Sandy, to see if to have her call in. Okay. Any objections to that?
Sounds good, Sandy.
Thanks. She'll be on in a minute.
Okay. This is Jim. I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but since we do have guests here, is it appropriate to open the discussion to the guests?
I don't have an objection to that, and usually at public meetings, which this has to
Holly.
Be. Hi, Holly.
Hi. Hi, Holly.
Hi.
Usually at public meetings like this, there is at least a chance for the public to speak. So if no one else is opposed, I'm fine with that.
I'm fine with it. This is Sandy.
Me too. This is Dawn. Me too.
Hi, Hull.
Hi. What's going on?
Well, Andrew, are you weathering the hurricane?
Yes. Ernesto went through with nothing more than a strong breeze. It didn't build up strength as they had expected before hitting Florida. So we're fine here.
Great.
Oh, and I'm.
That's good that you're safe.
Thank you. If the discussion is open, I just would like to say a couple of words. First of all, I think you all know my opinions. I haven't been quiet at expressing them, but I would, you know, like thank you all for paying attention to my comments. I believe that the board is on track to make a good decision with the magazine. So I don't even want to, and the DVD. So I don't even want to talk about that. But I think one thing that I would say very strongly is you need to get the book sorted out. And, you know, it's. I think Holly and I would both agree that, you know, it's hard to use the accounts to make projections into the future until we have the books for last year done and this year brought up to date. Okay, I'm done.
Right. And this is Sandy. Indeed, Holly and I had a conversation about this just minutes before the meeting started, and Holly, do you want to kind of summate what we talked about?
Yeah, I mean, first, I'm absolutely in agreement with Andrew that it's awfully hard to work with numbers that you're guessing at. And I am a little bit surprised to hear from Sandy how little has been done in terms of bookkeeping and record keeping and transfer of records and continuity of records. In any case, the other thing that I said to Sandy is that it didn't make sense to me to separate the bookkeeping function from the treasury function. But we didn't have time to really have any discussion about that, so I'd be happy to hear from others as to why that was being considered or is being considered. What else, Sandy, that I missed?
Oh, just that I asked you if you would consider being treasurer just because that we had been talking about that, and you said that you wanted to know the time commitment because you have started a new business. And also, I wonder if it's appropriate for it that we do at least put this out, as we have in the past, at least several weeks to the general public, a role of treasurer.
We've already put that out.
Yeah, that was put out as soon as we got back from Portland.
Yeah, no, that I don't think that's an issue. Because...
Okay.
May I say something? This is Andrew again. I think the there's a substantial time commitment involved in getting the books up to date, and that's one of the reasons I'm proposing that we hire a paid bookkeeper to do that, rather than hoping that a volunteer will turn up and put in tens of hours, possibly over 100 hours, trying to work out what's happened over the past 18 months or so. So, if that remains a paid position, and I've also been saying we should separate bookkeeping from the treasury position, in that just from the point of view of checks and balances, that there's one person there who enters the transactions into our accounting system, and another person, a different person who writes the checks. The person doing the books isn't actually dishing out money. That way, it makes it much harder for anyone to be absconding with money. Just gives us a level of security that we wouldn't otherwise have. It can certainly be done as a single person, but we haven't had much success in maintaining volunteers in that position.
And I agree with what you just said. This is Kim. Jack was our former treasurer. Jack McMichaels, and I shouldn't say no one, but some of us were not aware that books were not being kept, that bills were being paid, but books were not being kept. And in order to try to help alleviate that situation, we felt it as well, what Andrew just said, as a checks and balances system, but also to try to alleviate some work off of, instead of one person, two people being there. But it was also a check and balances type system that we were trying to do.
And Kim, correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a period of time, a number of 4 to 5 months, that bills were not being paid. Is that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
This is Don.
I'm sorry, this is Bob. I was treasurer of a statewide organization here. And the system we used, and why originally I volunteered to be treasurer a couple years ago, was because the treasurer simply wrote checks authorized by, the board of directors or whatever was in charge. And so I was a little surprised how we run things, and they had oversight, of course. But they, plus the treasurer, because it was just a bookkeeping function, did not need the 990s, did not really keep accounts. It was simply a thing where the treasurer's report is, we've got this much money, we wrote these checks, this is it. Hence, you got many more volunteers than the expertise we're requiring. And, just like I said, I want to just throw that in, that I'm not sure what we require sometimes is a standard.
I realize, this is Kim again, I realize we're somewhat askew of the topic right now, but I'm allowing discussion to go on for a little bit because all of this is sort of interconnected. And as long as we're all together, I figured we could just take a few minutes and, you know, discuss those issues so that we have more information in front of us. So I hope no one minds or objects to that.
This is Don. I think the comment that I would make about the Treasury job is that right now there's obviously a time commitment to get things brought up to date.
Mm-hmm.
But when things are running well, I wouldn't expect that there were that many hours it would take to simply pay our bills and do a few bookkeeping entries.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if the organization can go months without paying any bills, I can't imagine that it's that big of a time commitment when you are paying bills.
I've been paying the bills since about a week or two before the fest this year.
Mm-hmm.
The largest workload with paying bills came during the fest week and immediately following fest week. And just within like the week after fest week, as you know, other bills were coming in from the fest yet. Other than that, you really don't write out a whole lot of checks. Many of our bill payments are on auto pay. Things such as the website and that are on auto pay. The cell phone bill is on auto pay. So other than little things that come in here or there, the bill paying is not the big part. Right now the bookkeeping is the big part of the job.
Yeah, and this is Andrew again. If I could just address that for a moment,
mm-hmm.
You know, every membership renewal has to be entered as a transaction into the books. Every sale through the store has to be entered into a transaction in the books. So, you know, I believe that you know there was some work done on automating those processes. I don't know how far we got, and especially at the run up to the convention, there's all those you know festival payments coming in. That have to be maintained in the books, and you know, at the festival, there's a lot to be done trying to keep track of things. I know Martin Frost kind of stood up for that position this year, but typically we would have that would be a very busy time for the treasurer. So it's you know, that's why I think this is something that we should, you know, it's too much of a volunteer to do without burning out. You know, I did it for a little while, and admittedly, and I said up front that was temporary. Dan Howard did it for a while. He burned out. Jack burned out. I think we have to face facts that the posting these transactions into our books, this is something that we should, you know, reasonably pay someone to do. And, you know, it's maybe a few hours a week, but it's every single week you've got to put the time in.
Yeah. I have to admit, I agree with Andrew on this.
I think what we really need to work to, if it's that much work, we should be automating those transactions and putting the money in there. There's no point in paying somebody to do busy work if there's an alternative.
Say that again, Don. I didn't hear it.
I say there's no point in paying somebody to do busy work. We should be automating those festival payments and membership payments. You know, if we can get whatever process that is to kick out a spreadsheet, it must be possible to have QuickBooks read that in.
This is Jim. For the membership, the transmittal sheets that I send out every time I make a deposit, and it's primarily memberships, but occasionally we also get just donations sent to the IJA PO box. But those transmittal sheets are not automated. I actually have to produce those and send them out. It's almost trivial to do, but granted, it is a manual task, and you know, for the bookkeeper then to have to take those and enter them in, it does seem like a duplication of effort. So I'm more than happy to entertain any system by which automation can happen, you know, throughout this process.
And the IJA does have a copy of Business QuickBooks, the business version of it. The nonprofit, I forget exactly how it's worded on the cover. However, even though I know some basics of QuickBooks, I don't know all the ins and outs of it, so I'm not exactly sure what its capabilities are as far as automated entries. So we do have the program, though. The IJA owns the program.
This is Scott. I'll break my silence here. A few things I'd like to bring up. One is the IJA has a vast resource of programmers. I'm sure if you need help with automation, a call for help could yield lots of help. The other thing I wanted to bring up in regards to our time restraint, is anyone here familiar, is the board familiar, I guess, with Todd Strong's proposal?
His proposal to help if given a monthly stipend?
No.
Okay.
His proposal to do the magazine only on the contingency where we cannot use Alan Howard.
He never submitted anything that I saw.
All right. He didn't want to formally submit anything. And reason is because he works with Alan. You know, he makes the magazines. But I just wanted to let the board know that if, you know, part of our time constraint with Alan, and part of the problem with getting the numbers ready, if for some reason the board is unable to commit to using Alan, and if Alan does end up taking another commitment and is not able to do the magazine, Todd Strong, only at that point would Todd Strong be willing to do this. When the board looked like it was going to four issues and Alan was kind of wasn't sure if he wanted to do four issues or not, I was going to make sure the board knew about that. But when Alan said he was going to do four issues, I thought it was kind of a moot point. But now the way the financials and things looked, I just wanted the board to know that if Alan, if for some reason we could not secure his services, that Todd Strong would step up and he would do it in-house. He would simply work for the IJA. He thinks he could, without doing a tremendous amount of research, he thinks a high side estimate would be around $11,000 an issue. And depending on how much the graphics is, he used a Quantum's figure of like $3,500 to hire somebody else to do it. But if he could do it much cheaper, it could be $8,000 or $9,000 an issue. And that was just something I wanted to bring to the board's attention so that they don't feel pressured that if we don't secure Alan, that things are going down the toilet. So,
this is Sandy. I talked to Todd yesterday for about 45 minutes to an hour, and he did express that to me. And as soon as I told him that we were indeed looking at a proposal with Alan, he absolutely said, I just wanted you to know things went down the toilet. I am here to help the IJA, but I want you to understand that Alan Howard's my boss. So,
right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I just worked 10 hours today. I just got home, and I'm not sure I didn't express that to the board, but I'm telling you now.
Martin.
But no proposal. Who's coming up?
Hello.
Martin here.
Hello, Martin.
Martin, hi.
Hello.
Just checking in.
Do we have a limit?
I guess not. No one bumped, did they? I hope
so.
I'm still here.
That's the situation that I have to report with Todd. Indeed, he would, but you know, he was not interested. He said if Alan Howard was going to be considered in any way, and when I told him yes, he is being considered because this board is looking at proposals, complete proposals at this point, then he said, okay, I want it understood that I'm going to work for Alan Howard. If things fell in the toilet, then I would consider bailing out. But I don't think we're at that point.
Yeah, I just brought it up because if the board felt that because of the financial situation, if they couldn't make a decision tonight, that even if Alan, you know, if it was in the best interest of the IJ not to, and then he couldn't give Alan an answer, and Alan ended up taking another commitment, that there was a fallback position.
This is Bob. You know, without a proposal, though, that fallback position may not be any better. You know, I mean, without
right.
something written, you know, to see concrete that this is what it's going to cost, this is what I propose to do. I mean, it's all hypothetical, and I'm really uncomfortable with that.
Well, that's why it's a fallback position
yeah.
and not your primary.
Oh, right. I mean, I agree. I mean, yeah, it's a fallback, but, I mean, that's like, you know, like that.
Yeah, I mean, Alan, I've been friends with Alan for 15 years, and he's a great guy, and I'd love to see him continue doing it. But I just wanted the board to know that if, for some reason, things didn't work out, there was a fallback situation. It is not ideal in my
opinion.
In my opinion.
That's good to know, though. And,
yes, it is.
You know, it's amazing that there's somebody like Todd out there who has he's not taking, he's not taking himself as, you know, he doesn't have any personal motivation in this. He just wants to say, hey, you know, if things go to shit, then here I am to help out.
Right. Okay.
This is Bob, and
yep.
I've got some commitments at the house because I thought this was going to be kind of a short meeting. So
yeah, sorry.
We
Beth.
Can get to it. Like I say, I mean, I thought we had an agenda and we got some proposals, and if we can move to those, like I say, otherwise I'm going to have to leave.
I was just going to get to that. My question to everyone is, though, since Alan Howard has said that we don't need to decide on issues tonight, just whether or not we want him to remain, does this board want to also decide number of issues at this time, or do we just take a yes or no vote on whether we want Alan Howard as our publisher-editor and then decide issues later?
This is Sandy. I say we go with issues tonight.
This is Don. I agree with that. I don't see any benefit to arguing on and on about how many issues.
Okay.
This is Will. I agree.
Jim, I agree.
Okay. All righty. All right, then, Jim, would you like to read the first motion?
I will. Kim Laird moves to approve Alan Howard as publisher-editor of the IJA publication for 5 issues in 2007, with the option to upgrade to 6 issues in both 2008 and 2009, if conditions warrant. The cost quoted by Alan of 5 and 6 issues will remain at $71,500 and $78,000, respectively, for the duration of the 3 years.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Bob, second.
Okay. For discussion on this, I just want to make everyone aware I have spoken with Alan about him keeping 100% of the ad revenue, and if that's the case, he said he would consider dropping the price by approximately $5,000.
Which brings it to okay.
That would be of this. That would be for either the 5 issues.
I'm sorry. Was that a total of $5,000 or $5,000 per issue?
$5,000 for the year because
the
total ad revenue
mm-hmm.
that the IJA would gain approximately from the ad revenue throughout a year would be $4,800, give or take.
For how many?
Wouldn't that vary a lot depending on how many issues we had?
Well, yeah, but that's why I discussed it with him about the 5-issue price. And the reason I discussed it about the 5-issue price was to try and get that issue price, 5 issues, down to pretty close to what we're already paying for 6 issues.
Uh-huh.
It's within $2,000 of what we're paying now.
By paying now, do you mean the expanded price that we had for the 2-month or for the 2-issue extension?
No.
Or?
No, our previous contract.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Okay, so let's. Sorry.
Presumably, that ad thing goes for 4 issues as well.
Yeah.
Well, the
revenue would be a little bit less.
The revenue would be less at 4 issues.
Yeah, but proportionally, it should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just to continue that thought, I don't like the idea of giving them 100% of the ad revenue. I think in principle we need to have some share of that. Only 10%, I'd be happy with that.
Well, he's talked about 50-50.
I agree with Don.
Yeah, he's talked, Alan mentioned 50-50, and he assumes it should be 50-50.
Yeah.
I'm happy with 90-10, but I think we should get some piece of the pie.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is Will. I agree with Don. In fact, I would go even more. I would prefer to have the ad revenue and then actually just get it and accumulate, well, accumulate it over the year, I guess. I don't know how the money itself would work out, but that way it seems like it would be a little bit more fair or whatever. We should get about the same numbers.
Well, this is all something that would be, of course, hammered out for sure in the contract. So there's
use,
you know, talking about the what ifs at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the proposal's out there.
Yeah. Any other thing on this? Are we ready to vote?
Hmm? Oh, can we discuss both of these sort of at the same time? I mean, really, we only have two options, so it's like 4 or 5, right?
Right.
Well, yeah.
But
most of the discussion should have taken place beforehand, so.
Yeah.
Most people's minds are made up, so I'm not sure.
Okay, yeah. Well, then let's vote on it.
Okay.
Okay. We just going to do roll call?
That's fine.
Is that okay? All right. On the first motion, Sandy Brown, yes or no?
And just to clarify, this is yes or no for 5 issues?
For 5 issues, yep.
No.
Don Lewis?
No.
Jerry Martin? He's not here. Jim Maxwell?
No.
Bob Newman?
No.
Will Penman?
No.
And Kim Laird votes yes.
Good for you, Kim.
I'm sorry, gang. I have to stick to my conviction.
I agree. You got to stick to what you believe.
All right. And the second
motion, Don Lewis moves to approve Alan Howard as publisher/editor of 4 issues of Juggle magazine in 2007 with the option to upgrade to 5 or 6 issues in both 2008 and 2009 if conditions warrant. The cost quoted by Alan of 4, 5, and 6 issues will remain at $58,500, $71,500, and $78,000 respectively for the duration of the 3 years.
Do we have a second?
Second to Andy Brown.
Okay.
Second and third.
Any discussion?
Well, I mean, I guess it's sort of automatically decided, but one note that I've just thought of recently that I haven't had a chance to discuss or bring up is along with this idea, I think it'll be, I mean, since we're decreasing the number of issues, I think it'll be sort of hard whether we went to 5 or 4 for us to also raise membership dues. And so I think if we went to 5, that would have been hard to also raise membership dues. Whereas, I mean, if we can't get it either way, then this does allow us more revenue.
Although I agree with you, although I've had a conversation with Bob, and Bob would not be in agreement of having, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, having 4 issues plus a raise. So I think this is something that we need to decide.
Right. That's what I was saying.
Exactly.
I was saying if we can't afford a raise in either option.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Will's going for the drastic one. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like I said, I voted no on the 5 issue. This is another point to remember when we're considering the 4 option.
Exactly.
Okay.
This is Don. Well, it's my motion. I'm wondering if the financial people have any specific thing they want to say about this. We're discussing the motion without having really talked about the finances.
This is Andrew. I think this is a very fine motion. I think it's the best thing for the IJA to do. I do think you should take Alan up on his offer of a get-out clause after 1 year, so that the whole thing can be reconsidered after 1 year. And on increasing membership dues, I would suggest that that motion be put to the annual meeting of members, that someone be prepared to stand up in front of the members, make a case for increasing the dues, and let the members vote on it, rather than it be a decision that the board take.
Excellent idea.
Yeah, excellent, yeah. I agree.
I agree too, because it's...
Are we ready to vote on this, or?
Yes.
I know I'm pushing a little bit.
Is there wisdom to be received?
I'm having a heart attack.
Mine's over. All righty. Roll call vote. Sandy Brown.
This is
for the four issues. Sorry.
Yes, I agree.
Don Lewis.
Yes.
Jerry Martin is absent. Jim Maxwell.
Yes.
Bob Newman.
Yes.
Will Penman.
Yes.
And Kim Laird votes no. I have to say, Yang, it's not that I don't support you guys. I stand behind you, but I had to go with
Kim,
conviction.
You have the balls to stick up for what you want, and I respect that completely.
Thank you.
Well, I will say that you're allowed to support another motion. You know, just because the one motion fails does not mean you have to die with it.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Don.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right. New business not to be addressed at this meeting, although we did some anyway. Next regular board meeting we had scheduled for September 20th at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
And what day of the week is that, just out of curiosity?
It's a Wednesday.
Okay. All our meetings are going to be on Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Will we have any exams?
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure that, like, we were going to stay consistent with the Wednesday evening.
Right. Yeah. Let us know, okay?
We have throughout the past year, but if it's a problem, let us know. Agenda items for the next meeting are due to the chair on or before September 9th, 2006.
Or earlier if you got them.
Yep, earlier. Thank you. All righty, the earlier the better. All right, anything else?
Yes,
good of the order.
This is Andrew. This is Andrew. I would like, it, please, a decision from the board on the proposal for a trial video magazine. I would like permission from the board to go ahead and turn Alan's proposal into a contract that will be submitted to the board for approval.
I think you already have that, Andrew.
Yeah, at one of the other... Well, one of the previous meetings, it was approved for you to negotiate.
I was asked to put, no, the exact motion was for me to get a proposal. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm back with the proposal.
Right. And what we need is a motion that Andrew could proceed with negotiating a contract with Alan Plotkin. The only thing we have done is approve that Andrew can proceed with negotiating the actual proposal. So there is a difference, and I don't know if you want to table this, but I will present a motion right now, and it is on the board forum. Sandy moves that Andrew Conway may proceed with negotiating a contract with Alan Plotkin for a trial DVD to be produced in 2007.
I'll second that. This is Don.
This is Jim Maxwell typing furiously. Could you just say that one more time, please?
Absolutely.
Sandy Brown moves that Andrew Conway be allowed...
May proceed.
May proceed, okay.
With negotiating, or to negotiate, a contract with Alan Plotkin for a trial DVD to be produced 2007.
Thank you.
I don't know if this makes a difference, but on the June 6th minutes, Dave Davis did move that the IJA's video coordinator is given the authority to negotiate. Now, it doesn't say negotiate for a contract. It says negotiate for a test DVD magazine, test edition.
Right.
And that was approved by unanimous consent. So I don't know if we're actually making the same motion again.
No, we're moving on to actually make a contract.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree that the first motion was ambiguous, and so if this can clarify it, then I say let's go with it.
Yeah, I was confused by it as well. I just wanted to make sure we weren't, you know, double-dutying things.
Okay, is Andrew happy with that motion now?
I decided to interpret it in the fairly narrow sense.
Say that again, Andrew. I can't hear you.
Yeah, you're breaking up.
I chose to interpret the last motion. action in a fairly narrow sense. So that, you know, it was
can't
just
hear you.
Like
you're breaking up.
Come out of the proposal. Okay, it's important. Hang on.
Andrew, you're totally gone.
Hold on.
Okay, let's move. Andrew, move to a new part of the room.
I'm trying. Carry on.
Okay. So
there you go. Try again, Andrew.
I just said carry on without me. It's fine.
No. We hear you now.
Okay. Well, I was just saying I chose to interpret the last motion in a fairly narrow sense. And this is also a different board, so I wanted to make sure that I have approval from this board to go ahead with this.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, according to the vote.
Okay, yes.
I know this isn't why I was here, but this is Scott. To clarify this motion, if you want him to actually get the DVD done, you might want to say that the board accepts the proposal and gives Andrew or the video coordinator the power to, you know, make a contract.
This is Bob. I still have some questions about the cost. I think we could lower the cost by doing a nearby festival.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a rush to do January, February that there was. And
mm-hmm, yeah.
My suggestion is doing the Austin Festival where Alan lives. It may cut costs without cutting quality, and it would just, you know, be more reasonable. I'm not sure if that's, you know,
yeah, I think
available for everybody, but I know the Austin Fest is a great fest. It would look great on video, and it really cuts our costs massively, I would think, because he doesn't have to go anywhere. You know, he's at home. To me, that's just one of the ways I would like to look at that, because, like I say, we're talking about some different festivals, and I'm not sure because I know several people have chimed in that Philadelphia is not the one to go to. Hugo may be the one to go to, but, you know, he travels, and I'm not sure that there's a rush to get it out in January. So, I mean, it could get out if he did all the work by the end of February, and, you know, it wouldn't be bad at all. You know, so I'm
We can discuss that during the contract negotiations. I agree. I'm not sold on the Philly Fest idea.
Right.
Excellent. This is Don. The only comment I have on that, I do like the idea of saving a bit of money, but not at the expense of making the best possible sample DVD that we can. I mean, this is what we're going to use to prove the concept to the members. It has to be the best we can do.
Oh, and I agree, and I think that's why the Austin Fest, because I've been there several times, and I've been to a lot of regional fests, and that would be it's very photogenic, to be quite honest with you. It's on UT campus, and it looks great, and it's really close to Alan, and he's very familiar with everybody down there. So, I mean, it almost may work out better. I mean, I think in some ways we were kind of rushed because of the January thing. I don't see that as a real push now. And it would be the same quality easily, I would think. We got to talk to Alan, of course, the bottom line. But I think that would be a great option. And it would save a lot of money just for the test. And then we could come up, because obviously the actual videos or DVDs, once he starts doing them, are going to be more expensive because he's going to have to travel. But it would just be nice to come in with a low bid on the test.
I agree, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm all for that. I mean, if he could do the Austin Fest, I think that would be an awesome video. And realistically, like I say, he could get everything together for the rest of the video and just throw in the fest part at the last end and probably have it out, I would think, by the end of February or March. Like I say, it's a quality fest, so I think that would be a good one to do.
Does this modify our proposal, or is this just sort of discussion alongside it?
Andrew?
This is, I think, discussion alongside it. I mean, that's we'd probably take email and all the phone, and I will. You'll notice this motion is not giving me the power to approve a contract.
Mm-hmm.
The board gets to approve a contract, so anything that I negotiate will be subject to a final confirmation of the board. But I would like to get just a go-ahead this evening that, yes, we are, as far as everyone's concerned, we are going to do this. And I can work with Alan on refining the details.
I think
feedback.
Yeah, I think we're all in favor of that.
Yeah.
This is Jim Maxwell, and I have no bias whatsoever when I say that the Austin Festival is awesome.
You know, you're making me want to go there.
This is Sandy, and I was breaking up a little bit when I heard Andrew, and I just want to make sure that everything, that I didn't hear everything, but I assume that we're going to go ahead with the DVD, and we're going to decide on the Austin Fest later. Is that correct? I didn't hear it all.
Yeah.
The Austin Fest, from what I heard, was mostly just a preference expressed by the board. If it works out and if it's cheaper, then we would all like that because we think it's equal quality at less cost.
This is Jim. All the details of the contract are still up for negotiation, but we're allowing Andrew to proceed in drawing up a contract.
Okay, great.
Yeah, this is Bob. That's my understanding because I agree with Sandy. And unfortunately, Andrew was breaking up pretty good. I want to make sure we're on the same page because what I'm voting for or authorizing is, yes, proceed, but we're still negotiating about costs, you know, that we want to get it as, you know, cheap with, and I agree with Don, quality, because it's got to be a quality product. But if we can get a little cheaper by him doing my at-home video, you know, that'd be great.
Exactly. Every $500 makes a difference to us right now.
So I'm all for that.
Okay.
Are we ready to vote on that then?
Yes.
Okay. Jim, could you read the motion one more time, please?
Certainly. Sandy Brown moves that Andrew Conway may proceed to negotiate a contract with Alan Plotkin for a trial DVD to be produced in 2007. Don Lewis seconded.
Martin.
Yes, Martin?
I'm back.
Hi.
All righty. Let's see. And we've had discussion, so it's time to vote. Is there any need to really do a roll call on this, do you feel?
Anyone? You can just say, I would like to pass
unanimously,
and if somebody objects, then we'll do roll call.
Okay. I would like to pass this by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? I remembered this time and didn't have to be reminded. Okay, passes by unanimous consent. All righty.
So I'm afraid I have one more thing to say. This is Andrew. I recently did posted a proposal for request for proposals for video services. I was going to suggest that I do the same thing for a bookkeeper, make it clear that this would be a pay position, submit it to the board, and if everyone's agreed, we can post that on the IJA website and actually start looking for a paid keeper. Any problem with that?
I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, it broke up.
Yeah,
Andrew.
Real bad.
Andrew, can you send us an email?
Can you hear me okay at the moment? I'm going to keep trying this. Hang on. There's one more thing I can try to improve the quality.
I think I understood what he said. Maybe I can repeat it.
Well,
he wants
please.
To put out a request for proposal for a bookkeeper with the board's consent, for a paid position. This would be asking people if they would become our bookkeeper and they would say how much they're willing to charge. Is that right, Andrew?
Yes, that's correct.
They will be willing to say what they want to charge? This is Sandy.
Yeah, it would be a proposal. It would be an offer to be a bookkeeper.
Call for proposals.
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't we at least ask if anybody's is stupid enough to volunteer?
Yeah. I would like to try the volunteer route first, and being that this meeting was supposed to, you know, be for the magazine, at the very least, even if we were to put out a call, even for volunteers, I don't mind putting out a call for volunteers at this time, but to put it out as a paid position, I'd rather wait until our September meeting. Does that sound on track with everyone? Or
sounds good.
Okay, then.
Bob, I think this needs more discussion. So
yes.
I would prefer it. I mean, I'm not against it or for it. I really don't know at this point. So I hate to rush into something because this is a very limited agenda.
Sorry, this is Jim. As I understand it, I mean, this isn't even a motion.
Right.
If Andrew does send this out, it just gives us more information to base on. I mean, we can certainly still accept volunteers,
On the other hand, if he sends us out,
right,
it tells the potential volunteers not to volunteer.
Good right. point.
Right. Yeah. No, I wouldn't. I agree. Let's try looking for volunteers first, and I can draft something asking for a volunteer and saying what we need doing, and then if no one volunteers, then at the September meeting, let's try changing it into a paid position.
Exactly.
Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay. Anything else from anyone?
This is Holly. Can I ask a question about that?
You bet.
Just so I'm clear, you're looking for a bookkeeper to bring the 2004, 2005, and 2006 books up to date, and then after that, it would no longer be a paid position, or is that not true? This is you're looking for someone ongoing.
Holly, this is Kim, and I know personally at this point, I don't know which way to answer your question because I'm not sure exactly what we're looking for.
Well, this is Jim. I agree. Andrew made the point earlier, and I agree that for the long term, it is in our best interest to have both a treasurer and a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would, you know, I assume that Andrew's talking about an ongoing position of bookkeeper, and it, we very well may end up having to pay somebody for that, but I think that that he's correct in that we do need to staff both positions to avoid that potential conflict of interest.
I agree.
I agree with the two positions. I'm just not sure with Holly's question whether it will be an ongoing paid position or is this a short-term paid position.
Oh, I see.
We look for a volunteer later to take over. That's where I was confused. So
I know that the 2005, this is Martin, I know the 2005 books have not been done, but my impression is the 2004 books have. Since I prepared the 2004 Form 990, after working with, her name escapes me right now, who I think.
And the 2005, you did Martin too, right?
No.
Oh, no, Dave did that.
Dave did 2005 without having finished the books.
This is Andrew. The 2004 accounts are posted.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe a final version of 2003 was ever posted, but we need to do 2005.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
2003.
And as far as whether it's a paid job long term, I think probably it's a paid job, but we ask volunteers to work on automating the job out of existence.
Okay. This is Bob, and I'm sorry. I'm going to have to leave.
Okay.
Like I say, if we could discuss this, because I don't think anything's going to get done tonight on this, because
no.
I would like more discussion, and I'd like to read it and, you know, see different people's input, because, like I say, it's more than I was ready for tonight, but I've got to leave now, and
okay.
I'm sorry. But,
this is Scott, and while Bob's bowing out, since it's way past the point that I was invited to the meeting to be for, I'm going to bow out too.
Okay. Thank you so much for
coming. Thank you.
Scott.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Scott.
Mm. Really appreciate it.
And actually, on this note, and Holly, I'm sorry we really couldn't answer that question, but as soon as we discuss it some more and get an answer for you, you know, by all means, we'll get that to you.
Okay.
Before we run any longer, does anyone have anything else before we adjourn?
This is Jim Maxwell. I move to adjourn.
Way to go, Jim. All right. All righty. And do we need a second on that?
Nope.
No.
Nope. Okay. I keep forgetting that part. Okay. Meeting is adjourned as of...
You do need a vote.
Oh. Okay. Sorry.
Anyone opposed?
Anyone opposed to adjourning? Okay. If not, we adjourn it. I have 9:10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yes.
Okay. By unanimous consent. Okay.
Talk to you guys later.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
We have a final comment, everybody.
Sure.
I have a final comment. This is Sandy. Before you go.
Go ahead, Sandy. I'm still here.
On. I just really appreciate everybody working together on this. It means so much. And I just appreciate everybody, you know, hanging in there and getting all the information and doing what we think is best.
This is Jim. I second that appreciation.
Thank you.
And I'll third it, even though we don't have to.
And I'll fourth it.
That leaves me six.
All right. You guys all have a good night.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Kim, are you going to make the post?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Yeah. Not a problem.
Hey, I'll see you this weekend.
Okay.
Sandy, do you have time?
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sandy? Anybody there?